Welcome back again to 2023 edition of Labor Fest on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm really excited. We're here doing a live remote and thank Milwaukee County Labor Council, Pam Fent, and all of those who made this possible, and all the different unions that are here and are going to march down to the Summerfest grounds for a great afternoon of music and dance and revelry and food. And so, having said all those things, I want to bring up my next guest, Mr. Kent Miller. He is the president of Wisconsin Laborers District Council. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, sir, and thank you very much for having me today.
So tell me what LIUNA.
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 Yep, the Laborers International Union of North America. We represent over 550,000 men and women, primarily in the construction industry, but we're involved in janitor work and healthcare. I'm also affiliated with the Mail Handlers Union. Here in Wisconsin, we represent nearly 9,000 construction craft laborers, all in the construction industry.
You know, there's something about union people, and they're proud, right?
Yes.
I don't care who they are, yep. Whatever they are, we're proud people. You hold your head up high. You know you're going to do a good day's work. But there are people all over who do a good day's work. They don't get good day's compensation.
Yeah.
That's the importance of the union.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why you're seeing the highest numbers of support of folks belonging to a union. People are fed up. We went through the pandemic, and I think workers recognized their value and that a union can help them get their value, whether it's wages, whether it's better working conditions, whether it's health care, retirement, you name it. A union is everybody banding together to advocate and fight for those items, right?
You know, sometimes, I know towards the last years of my involvement with Smith Steelworkers 1906, I recognize, I thought was kind of a flaw with unions, and that was that we weren't educating our members to what the value of a union was and how we got there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. No, that's always been a challenge, because when you look at our membership, I mean, we're all over. We're a very diverse group, and we all have different values and different ideas. And, at the end of the day, I always pitch our organization, we're a jobs club, right? And we're going to do anything and everything that we can to advocate to make sure that our jobs are the best wages, the best health care, best retirement, safety training. We have a great training facility in DeForest, Wisconsin. And so, we need to focus that unions are about jobs and making those jobs into careers, right? It's
yes.
It's something you enjoy, you're passionate. You were just talking about that, how we're very prideful people. That's the difference with a union worker, I feel.
You know, I'll tell you, all those years I was in the union, I enjoyed the money. I enjoyed all the days off and all the benefits and all the vacations and all of those. But I really didn't understand what it was until I got my first pension check.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That was when it all really kind of came into focus.
Yep.
Because others who were retiring or who couldn't retire, I know people who are 70 years old who are still working. Because they never had a pension,
yep.
Right? They were never a part of that. And I think sometimes we don't talk about it enough with the younger members, that even though you're enjoying all this stuff right now, at the end of the rainbow.
Yep. It's even better.
Yeah, I mean, you're not there yet.
Yep. So no, I got a long ways to go. But that's the other thing is when the younger generation isn't always thinking about that, right? They're looking at focused on the money, on the check, so they can maybe get a home, get a toy or two, maybe
right.
A new vehicle, four wheeler, whatever it may be, and we're kind of focused on that. But then you start getting into the late 30s. 30s, 40s group, and they're focused on family, and now right. healthcare is really important. And then you get the 40s, they're starting to think about retirement, late 40s, and they're saying, you know what, when we collectively bargain, they're saying, well, I don't need the money on the check. Put it in the pension.
Right,
take care
right,
of that pension,
right.
you know. So.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I remember towards the end of my time with the union, 401ks came into vogue.
Mm-hmm.
And they started replacing pensions
yep.
with 401ks. No comparison.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can do the simple back-of-the-napkin math and look at how much you put into a 401k and how long will it take you to drain that amount versus a pension is a guaranteed monthly payment every month for as long as you're alive.
And even after you're gone.
And gives it to your beneficiary
yeah.
for as long as they're alive.
I mean, that to me is just amazing.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
I never thought about any of those things as a young man.
Nope.
But, you know, now where I am now, I know, right? You know, if I sneeze too hard, I'm going to be 70 years old.
Yep.
And it helps to know that my wife
is taken care of.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, that's really, and that's, again, that's on top of all the other things. But let's talk about the openings, the opportunities that exist right now for people.
Sure. Yep.
To join your union.
Yeah, so I mean, we're living in great times right now. A lot of investments, whether the state budget, the governor's capital budget, making big investments in vertical, roads, bridges, broadband, water infrastructure. But then we look at the investments federally from the Biden administration, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is now creating a lot of these green energy jobs are union jobs now because of the IRA. There's requirements there that to hire apprentices, and who does apprenticeship better than the unions, right? And so there's so many opportunities, we're doubling down on our workforce development outreach. Traditionally, we've had success in that because we were word of mouth and second generation, and I'm a third generation myself, but we don't see that as much, right? And so now we're really focusing on how can we reach out to the community, construction industry, predominantly male-dominated
right.
industry. We're trying to, how can we, get more women into the trades and people of color and reentry programs. We're working with corrections and trying to get reentry programs. We're thinking, we're turning over every stone because we need workers and there's great career opportunities in the building trades.
You know, the fact that right now, there's so many people who struggle and they're working every day. Is there an age limit on when people can join the
league? There is not. We were talking about the pension. It takes five years to vest with our pension, and then you're guaranteed a pension payment. But we've seen apprentices come in their 50s and start their apprenticeship. So
a dusty old guy like me, it might be a little bit too late for me.
Come on. We'll find you a home.
You know, man, I have to tell you, man, I get so excited when I'm around union people.
Yes.
Right? I miss the union. I do. I came in there as a boy, 18 years old, and left at the age of 53. Oh. I grew up. The best times and best years of my life were spent in the union.
Yep.
I learned so much.
It's truly is a family. You spend more time with your coworkers, right, than your own family.
You really
and,
do.
And so,
well, that's your family.
That's your family.
Yeah.
It's you spend more time. So it's the brother and sisterhood, the camaraderie on the job, and then just like we're doing today, right,
yes.
off the job and celebrating what unites us.
Well, you know, and it never ends,
yep.
right? I'm still connected to many of my Smith Steelworker 1906 brothers and sisters. Here, you know, that I knew at 18, and now we're 70 and above, and we're still interconnected.
Yep.
It's a fraternity,
yep,
right?
It is.
And so we've got to do everything we can to make sure that we get the information out that you don't have to be anybody special. The opportunities are there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You're not turning people away.
No, we're not. Nope. And, you know, you can go to our website, lionowisconsin.org, and we have plenty of information. We can help with apprenticeship readiness. We can help with taking the Accuplacer to get into the apprenticeship program. Or if you're a non-union skilled worker and looking for a change into a union, hit us up.
And I want people to understand again, we're talking careers.
Yes.
Careers. Right? Stop. I remember when I first went in and started working, nobody ever told me a career. I never thought, like I said, I was supposed to go to Stout.
Yep.
My father told me, don't come here, because my father worked. He said, don't come here.
Yep.
Because he kind of knew that I was going to get.
You'd be there.
Yeah. And they used to use the term trapped. And I remember saying, you know, people used to say, well, that's a dead-end job. And I remember saying, if that's a dead-end job, if these are dead-end jobs, they're the best dead-end jobs in the world.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So, listen, I want to thank you, Mr. Kent Miller, President of Wisconsin Laborers District Council. You're a great representative for your union.
Thank you, sir.
And we're going to make sure that we reconnect afterwards.
Yes.
You give me a call, we'll bring you on the air, and we'll spend more time talking about
Sounds
it.
Great.
All right. We got to go to a break. We're at Labor Fest 2023 at Zeiler Union Square. Special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Labor Fest 2023 is in full effect. We'll be right back.
Billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Highs level off around 92 this afternoon under sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 72 tonight, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy again tomorrow, highs around 92. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Upper 60s, cloudy skies Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Well, I was born on a Sunday, but Thursday I had me a job. I was born on a Sunday, but Thursday I was working out on a job.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Labor Fest 2023 is up and running at Zeiler Union Square. A very special edition of Labor Fest. WAUK, the radio station that I'm located in, 5:40 a.m., but the entire Civic Media Network is listening to us, and I'm really excited about having this opportunity to bring before our vast network. I want to bring up my next guest, Mr. Jim Schultz. He's with Wishkosh. Hey, good morning to you, Jim. It's good to see you again.
Morning, Earl. Good to see you, too.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Wishkosh.
Okay. So Wishkosh is a statewide nonprofit organization that we're here to help workers make their workplaces healthier places to be and their work safer to do.
Yeah, so listen, you know, all these people that are gathering and are going to be here, they're all hard workers. Many jobs that they work in are considered pretty dangerous jobs, and so there certainly needs to be a concern of safety.
Absolutely. The way Wishkosh looks at it, every job has hazards. Some jobs may have more hazards, some jobs may have more dangerous hazards, but they all have hazards involved in them. And we're not here, we love our brothers and sisters in the unions, and they helped build Wishkosh back in the 70s, but we're here for all workers. Whether they have a union protecting them or not, we're here to help you make your job safer so you can go home at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, there's, and why am I forgetting the one major national organization that looks, OSHA. OSHA that looks out for the benefits of workers, but Wishkosh is a Wisconsin.
We're a nonprofit.
Group.
We're not a part of the government, but we do work closely
group.
With them.
Right,
and we do a lot of OSHA-based training, but we also do DOT training because we have folks that are driving over the roads and in the lakes and stuff and the oceans that are transporting hazardous materials, and they need safe jobs too.
Yeah.
So we're here to try and help whatever your workplace, whatever your occupation is, we probably have something that can help you make your job safer in your workplace, healthier place to be.
You know, so how would people get in contact with Wishkosh?
Okay, Wishkosh is on Facebook at facebook.com/WISCOSH. We have a website, which is WISCOSH.org, and you can email us at help@Wishkosh.org.
So Wishkosh is something that you should certainly get connected to before an injury or after an injury?
Well, certainly we hope you get in contact with us before the injury so we can help prevent that injury from happening. But we can help you even after you get injured. We got a lot of connections with lawyers that deal with workplace injuries and doctors that deal with workplace injuries and stuff like that. We can help you get to folks that are more qualified to do it rather than some of the Johnny-come-latelys that are just looking there to get the big money from the state or whoever they can get their money from.
Yeah, so how long have you been involved with Wishkosh?
I've been involved with Wishkosh since 1999. My father was involved back in the early 80s, and it goes back to the 1970s when we first formed around just getting an OSHA office in the state of Wisconsin because OSHA had been started in the early 70s, and by 1975, there was still no OSHA office in the state of Wisconsin anywhere. And that was one of our first drives, was to get an OSHA office open, which is the one we have here in Milwaukee down at the Federal Building.
You know, I'll say this. You're a union guy?
I am. Come out of the steelworkers. But I've worked many jobs over my long and storied career. I've worked in landscaping, construction, demolition, restaurants and hospitality, healthcare,
So it's safe to say you know the benefit of the union.
I certainly do. I certainly do. I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my union.
You know, we're here, and the steel workers have just melted some iron. You can kind of smell it, and so you know, it's just watching the people gather around, and to think that there are people whose jobs are working with molten steel.
Yeah, right? I worked in a foundry for over 15 years. I was an iron pourer, and I also worked on the melt deck, melting the iron, making sure it was ready for.
So the point is. Dangerous, dangerous career.
Absolutely.
But it was certainly more dangerous 100 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
75 years ago. The changes and the safety that has now permeated these trades and these companies is really kind of unbelievable.
Yeah. Many of the hazards are still just the same. They're just as hazardous as they were, but we've got better training and better tools to use to keep ourselves protected, that we understand what we're working with and how it might hurt us. You know, a lot of people think about the iron, but the refractory we use to keep the iron in so that it doesn't burn through whatever it is, that often has asbestos or silica in there, which is also a hazard to us if you breathe it in. You end up with asbestosis or silicosis where you spend the rest of your life trying to breathe all day long.
So before we get out of here, Jim, again, what's the website and the phone number that people can reach you?
The website is www.wiscosh.org, and they can reach us at 414-870-3060, anywhere in the state.
All right, listen, man, it's always good to have you on. Good seeing you again.
You
we'll
too,
get you back
you,
out the studio in Waukesha.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue with a very special edition of Labor Fest 2023 here at Zeiler Municipal Square. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. You know, Calvin, man, I don't know, man. You're really slaying him right now, man. Welcome back again to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We are at Zeiler Municipal Square as Labor Fest 2023 is in motion. I am excited again. Anytime I get an opportunity to be around the brothers and the sisters of any union, I'm excited. And so I'm really happy to bring back a guy that I had on a couple of years ago,
yep,
in Labor Fest. His name is Jacob Flom. He's with how do they pronounce that?
AFSCME.
AFSCME.
Yep.
AFSCME, which stands for what?
Yep, American Amalgamated Federal State County and Municipal Employees. Make me say that. It's a lot. It's a mouthful. But
526.
Yeah.
And so you're with Public Museum in you're a MALC board member.
That's right, yep.
Who knew that the Public Museum had a union? I didn't.
Right, yeah.
I don't think anybody thinks that the Public Museum has a union.
Yeah, at least going back to, as far as I know, going back to 1962 when they built the current building, that's when our particular local was established. It may have gone back further than that. We don't have the records.
Yeah, but man, I'm happy to hear that.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, when we think of unions, you know, we think of you know, sheet workers, iron workers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, construction workers and all these other things. But I think very few of us think of, you know, people doing that kind of work.
Yeah, the museum workers are an industrial union, so representing everyone wall to wall in the museum, from the custodians to security officers and the frontline visitor services staff that greet you when you visit. And I'm a maintenance mechanic, so I work in the maintenance department. But so we've got everybody wall to wall that isn't management. And the artists and the exhibit artists, so the people that gave this, you know, it's a beloved museum and the exhibits are so beloved and the streets of old Milwaukee, and the workers of that museum, the generations of knowledge were passed down through the generations of artists and taxidermists that gave those exhibits the soul that they have. That's what makes it, you know, I think that's what people love about it, is that you can tell it really has a soul in that building. And
well, so the museum itself, all that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that people receive benefits,
yep,
is what's so, you know, amazing to me, man. I'm really excited.
And those were hard fought for, you know, and it made it a good family supporting living wage job.
So people actually retire from the museum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've been there 10 years, but there's a lot of folks that have recently retired that have been there 30 plus years. You know, put in long careers and a lot of service to the union to make sure that we defended and extended the benefits and wages that we have. So it's a good, you know, it's a pretty good place to work because of the union. And that's the best thing about any job is if it has a union, that's the best thing about the job, you know.
So I want you to repeat that because we're being heard now in 20 different markets across the state of Wisconsin, which is Civic Media. We have a radio station in all those different markets. But the thing that you said that was so important, the best thing about the job is what?
Yep. Having a union. That's the best thing of any job. If you have a union, that is the best thing about that job.
So why?
I mean, anything good about the job, what do you love about it? You know, I mean, any job could be a good job if you had time off and you weren't working excessive overtime and you're not getting and you're not getting killed by productivity standards. I mean, the union is the thing that enforces the, that good quality of work-life balance and makes the job livable and enjoyable.
Yeah, you know, again, as a guy who spent 34 years in the union, I echo your sentiments 100%. We've got to work really hard in this country of bringing unions back. Unions never left,
right.
but we need to incorporate more people who are working in, and unfortunately, not getting, I think, a fair shake. Because when you don't have organized labor, your labor sometimes can be taken advantage of, right?
Right. The employer's got all the power in a workplace with no union. There's got to be – the worker's got to have some say in their life. You know, we spend so much of our life at work.
Man, I know people who've worked on jobs for 20-plus years with no vacations.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Right?
Yeah.
No benefits.
It's just too common.
Yeah. No pensions. None of those things exist. And there are far more people in the country that's them than there
sure.
are people who you know, are fortunate enough or lucky enough to be in the union.
Oh, sadly, yeah. I mean, we've got to be honest about the fact in the labor movement that union density, those people that are fortunate enough to have a union, is historically low right now. But there's a revival going on, you know. In the private sector, I think it's down to like 9% of jobs only are union. So basically 1 in 10 workers is fortunate enough to have a union. But we're turning that around, and you see with young people, and there's lots of organizing campaigns going on. I know you just talked to Colectivo workers, and so we're so excited to see that sort of thing. Unions are really popular right now. We've got to revive that energy. And like the contract we just won at UPS, like that's going to have a reverberating impact for all of labor.
You know, man, I have to tell you, man, I was reading the other day about the UAW getting ready to strike.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yay, I started cheering.
Yeah.
I'm not a member of the UAW.
Right.
But those are my brothers.
Oh, absolutely.
And sisters, right? And I've been out of the union for, I don't know, almost 16, 18 years. But I'm never out of the union,
no.
right?
Yeah.
Once you're in that fraternity, you pull for all of your unions and brothers. When I was a young man, we didn't cross picket lines.
Exactly.
Right? So if somebody had a picket, we all honored and respected that. And that's how we got the benefits that we had, right?
Exactly. And I think the young generation of workers, including myself here, the younger generation is more open than ever to unions, but they're the least likely to have a union. So we have to rebuild that that class consciousness and that sense of solidarity and that union culture. That's that thing that so many young people are yearning for, but they haven't had the opportunity to have it. So
well,
there's
you know,
a huge opportunity here.
And there's no question, when I was a young, in the age demographic of the young people we're talking about now, unions were everywhere, right? Everywhere there were unions, and so I knew
right
away what was going on, because I saw my neighbors and getting up early in the morning with their lunch pail, and I didn't know what that was, but I saw them going and to work, and so you got to see, you know,
that's cool,
what was really going on. So it was a life.
Exactly.
Today, that's not a part of people's lives, and we have to educate people to the values and importance of unions.
Yeah, that's definitely a hurdle we have to overcome, reintroducing that union culture and that solidarity culture.
Because at the same time, there's another side of people who are trying to make sure and say that unions are for people who, you know, can't do it on their own.
Right.
And kind of make people feel as if there's something wrong with you about, you know, being a member of a union.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, some working people definitely have those backwards ideas. We see that. There's always going to be a few folks who really buy the boss's line about, you know, their attacks on the union and why it's supposedly a bad thing. But.
So, Jacob, let me say this, man. It's always a blast having you on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good luck. And give me a call, man. We'll bring you on. All right,
thank you.
All right, we want to now bring up Mr. Bill Carroll, Teamsters 344. Let's get you organized here. And let me see How can we do this? Dun, 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 dun. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. All right. Mr. Bill Carroll, Teamsters 344 UPS.
UPS, right. Yeah.
The champ is here.
Well, we had a good good outcome here.
Yeah, man. So congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of work and a lot of organizing and fighting over the last year to get this done. But
so you represent UPS.
We represent UPS the entire state of Wisconsin.
Now, so for people who don't know, you guys just took on a powerhouse.
Absolutely.
And you didn't blink.
Nope, nope.
So let me, most people are afraid of their bosses and their owners. You guys, you stood firm.
Well, it didn't come without a lot of organizing and contact with our members. I mean, we started this campaign probably around this time last year. And we started out with gathering proposals, doing parking lot rallies, getting our members motivated and to understand the importance of how we're going to move forward with this employer. And that continued right through the beginning of the year. We did a pledge drive, got people all signed up, more parking lot actions, rallies with our members, right to the strike authorization and practice picketing to put more, even more pressure on the employer to get this thing settled. And it worked out pretty good.
So, you know, there's some fearful times. Anytime you're talking about strike, because strikes are not something that are customary anymore. You know, I mean,
that's true.
You know, back when I was, you know, had black hair and those kind of things, you could see strikes and unions use that weapon. It's a weapon that you kind of don't want to ever have to use, but there comes a point in time when you have to send that message.
Yeah, and you know, the guys at UPS, they do make a good dollar, but the working conditions really left a lot to be desired, and a lot of the effort went into doing that and holding the employer accountable. But I think you're seeing a change as far as the willingness to withhold labor to get our goals met. We just had two strike actions in northern Wisconsin, in De Pere with New Dairy Select Milk and with Linekugels that just resolved earlier this week. And both of them have had a positive outcome. Again, it took a lot of fight, took a lot of organizing and keeping our guys together and solid and speaking with one voice. And it's amazing the power that workers have when they band together.
Well, see, and that clearly is the message that we want to send today.
Absolutely.
Labor Fest.
Yep.
All of these people organize from different backgrounds, different unions, but understanding the power of labor. And that labor should never be taken advantage of, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Or we have to be ready to keep repeating the scenario. Organize our guys and get them to understand the importance of the working together.
Do you because again, for those who are probably nauseated with me, always talking about I spent 34 years in the union. People probably, we know it. You're always talking about it. Yeah, I'm always talking about the union because yeah. Every day that I live, I'm benefiting from those things through my pensions and all the other things that the union brought me. But I think it's so critically important that people understand we've got to get more and more people engaged and involved in the unions.
Absolutely. I think it's imperative. It's really a foundational component of a society like ours. It's fine for the capitalist class to throw their money around and use that as power. But if we don't organize against that and try to at least get our share, we're lost.
So let me see if I can remember this. I'm not a great singer, by the way. The people united can never be defeated.
Right.
The people united can never be defeated.
Defeated.
I remember that from my times in the union. And it was more, early when I was a young man in the union, I didn't understand that.
Right.
The older that I get, the more I understand that those are more than words.
Yeah, well, you know, I see young people getting involved more and more now. And I think they're beginning to understand that we are stronger together, even though you might have, in your 20s, have an immortality complex. Yeah. That fades real quick with your first on-the-job injury.
So let me do this. Can you hang on a minute?
Certainly.
Okay, so listen, we've got to go to a break, but I'm going to carry Bill Carroll over. He's with Teamsters 344 UPS. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. This is Labor Fest 2023 with Zeiler Municipal Square. And we are broadcasting across the vast network of civic media. Got to go to a break. And the champ is here. All right, we'll be right back.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. Working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at
school. All right, welcome back to Zeiler Square, Union Square, on 4th and Michigan. 2023 edition of Labor Fest is in order. And I'm joined by Mr. Bill Carroll. He's with the Teamsters 344 UPS. Fresh off a victory for the union workers and really a victory for American workers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think UPS is one of those companies that's everywhere throughout the fabric of our society, and they fill such an important role in moving commerce across this nation. And the people that actually do that work, moving those packages from point A to point B, deserve all the credit.
Well, you know, people may think that, you know, you guys just walked into this and without any planning and the company just knuckle under. That's not how it works, is it?
No, that doesn't, no. There's no good graces from the employer that they just decide to bestow upon the workers. This took a lot of organizing over a year with our membership. And then at the bargaining table, we started with the regional negotiations in mid-February. That was split between Indianapolis and Chicago every single week until the middle of April. We got that wrapped up, and then we started on national negotiations. That was in Washington, D.C., and that lasted from mid-April right to the end of July, right till contract expiration, really. It took it right up to the wall.
You know, when you talk about bargaining, and nobody's saying that companies don't have a right to make a profit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so just so people understand, and many who say, well, if there was no company, you guys wouldn't be. Well, it goes both ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Both sides need to be taken care of equitably, where everybody can get along and share in the rewards that a enterprise like UPS brings.
You know, I remember... again, and I always go back to my time, and yeah, a long time ago. But we got it. We understood. The companies knew it's contract time. The company's going to play hardball. Yep. That's why the people who represent the officials have to be somebody who's kind of aware of all the things that go into making this cake, right?
Absolutely.
Not just from the perspective of we're going to be greedy on our end of the deal. You have to be mindful of the company's ability to prosper and stay in business as well, right?
Yep. And to operate. You know, I mean, that's right. One of the things you have to be cognizant of is understanding there's needs on both sides. Of course, we represent the needs of the workers, and we'll fight harder for them, but we still have to recognize
No company.
Yeah. They have to be able to operate, and there's no reason for that company to exist if they can't make a profit.
So how many years is the contract?
It's a five-year agreement.
Yeah. And so Is that what you always have been doing 5 years, or is this longer than normal?
Yeah, it has been a trend. It has been a trend. When I first started back in...
3 years it used to be. What?
Yeah, I started with UPS as a worker back in 1985 and went from 3 to 4 to 5, and it's been 5 for probably the last 4 or 5 contracts now.
Yeah, so right now, man, it's got to be just, you know, Christmas.
Well, you know, it goes in phases, right? We had the organizing phase with our members to get everybody on board and to buy into the fight, and then it went to the ratification, and now it's in the enforcement stage.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember every contract year that came up, people were nervous, and I used to always try to get people to understand, hey, man, we got to be engaged in the union more than just during contract time. And so to make the union strong, you got to come to the union meetings. We've got to be involved and engaged in all those things. Am I saying this wrong?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I totally encourage every one of our members and any union member to attend their union meetings, get involved. If you see contract violations, don't be shy about enforcing it. It's just ink on paper unless we bring it to life as members. If you see situations where the company's not living up to what they
agreed. I just think, you know, as now, you know, people are still gathering, and you look around, and you know, initially we're just ants, but now, you know, a lot more. But all of these people are here with their families. They live well, and the union is at the root of their being able to live well.
Right.
It's just true.
Yeah. And the stronger that the workers are together, the better a standard of living they can get, not only for their own pocketbook, but while they're spending all those hours on the job to protect their safety and protect their interests.
You know, that's the other part of this. There are people who work overtime on a lot of these jobs without unions. They get straight time.
Right. Yeah.
No benefits. Man, we got to continue to shout from the top of the mountain the value of unions, right?
Absolutely.
We cannot allow it to ever get to a point again where people don't know the value of unions, like I knew as a young boy back in the 1970s,
yep.
You know. And so how can people get involved with Local 344? Are the jobs available?
Well, we're always right now there's always jobs that intermittently become available. You know, it's kind of cyclical sometimes.
Right.
But we're always looking for people who are employed in any industry. We're always looking to help them organize if they feel like they need a union, which most do. They should look at
and if people are looking to get employed with UPS, they're always hiring.
Oh yeah, it's a constant revolving door. Although with this contract, there may be more people that are interested in staying.
All right. Listen, we've got to go, but thank you very much. It's been an honor to sit down with the champ, Mr. Bill Carroll, Teamsters 344 UPS. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show at Labor Fest 2023 at Zeiler Union Square, and being broadcast across Civic Media's vast networks. We'll be right back.
If you want to be like the folks on the hill, a working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.